Blog Talk Radio.
We will rock you. Sing in. We will rock you. Everybody. We will rock you. We will rock you. All right.
I used to bite my tongue and hold my breath, talking about feral cats and internet. So I sat quietly, agreed politely. I guess that I forgot I had a choice. Wildlife, it needs a worldwide voice. I have a microphone, not leaving this alone. You let them out and they kill birds. Already brushing off my words. No litter box shitting all around. Toxoplasmosis infects the ground. No TNR, get hit by cars. Responsible as you think you are. Keep them indoors, no wildlife war. You think that you own a tiger, a hunter, squished by a tire. Help protect wildlife, so please keep your cat indoors. Keep your pet indoors. Your cat's not a lion, it is a domestic. So please keep your cat indoors. Oh, 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 just keep your cat indoors.
Now you're killing off all our wildlife. You don't care, he has to go out at night. New Zealand's my hero, cause their tolerance is zero. You let them out and they kill birds. Already brushing off my words. No litter box shitting all around. Toxoplasmosis infects the ground. No TNR, get hit by car. Responsible you think you are. Keep them indoors, no wildlife war. You think that you own a tiger, a hunter, till squished by a tire. Help protect wildlife, so please keep your cat indoors.
Keep from running,
your cat's not a lion. It's domestic, so please keep your cat indoors.
Oh, 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 oh.
The following broadcast may contain mature subject matter and extreme awesomeness. Listen at your own risk. Attention, jungle junkies and new listeners worldwide. It's time for the world famous Urban Jungles Radio.
It's the Urban Jungles Radio Show.
With your hosts, Danny Mendez,
the Beastmaster,
and Andy V. Prepare to enter a new stream of consciousness, higher level of awareness, and an overabundance of awesomeness. Streaming live at the speed of light from the worldwide interwebs, straight to your brain's core. It's the world famous Urban Jungles Radio.
That's right. Be excited.
monkeys. I don't even know what the hell you are. That's how excited I am this evening. Welcome. Welcome to the show known as Urban Jungles Radio, your favorite and mine. And, of course, with me this evening is the one and only, our producer at large, who's currently on a secret mission in the Badlands of Wisconsin. Are there Badlands in Wisconsin, Gacy?
I wouldn't say Badlands. Closest you would get is maybe La Crosse.
Gacy, how the hell are you? Welcome back. We haven't had you on in a long, long time. It's always wonderful to hear you on the air, on this side, of course, being the mastermind behind a lot of what happens here at Urban Jungles Radio. We tend to lock you up, but every now and then we like to let you out and let you enjoy the rays of sunshine on that glorious and well-hydrated skin of yours, Gacy.
Thank you. You know, just doing what I do, what the UJR world needs me to do. It's not bad being caged up, though, once in a while.
Oh, we treat you well, and I'm glad this Stockholm Syndrome has set in. So thank you very much for sitting in with me this evening. I know Andy had to go on a bit of a secret mission himself this weekend and couldn't be here in studio. But not to be outdone, my man, of course, sorry, I managed to show up for one brief moment, putting aside all of his important Secret Service, FBWCCQRL Department of the Exterior Work, our side spy, Andy. How are you, Andy? I don't know where I was going with that.
Hey, buddy.
How are you, man? Where are you? Can you tell us where you are? Where in the world you are right now? Can you discuss it?
Where in the world is Andy V? I'm in the Midwest right now. I'm soaking up some sun and enjoying the beautiful 45 degree weather in the Midwest. That's all I'm gonna say.
Lovely, my friend. Well, do what you have to do, and please come back safely. But I understand that you have a side mission this evening, which is why you've given us an appearance this evening.
I do have a mission. This is a very, very secretive mission that I was given this morning, and I know the message itself is going to blow up in the next 10 minutes. So I got to get this out of here as fast as possible. So our wonderful friend, Scott Iper, all the way from down under Australia, Oz, the beautiful land that it is, has challenged me to sing his wonderful, lovely wife, Ty Iper, a happy birthday song, and to do it better than your attempt, as he says, at a piss-poor birthday wish to him last week. So...
All right, well, go ahead, my man. You go at your leisure.
At my leisure. Okay. I'm gonna do it in a very, very comfortable, very sensual kind of voice. I hope Scott doesn't mind that. And Gacy, just calm yourself down, okay? Just relax a little bit. So here we go.
Oh, I'm lounging like a lizard.
Oh, I know that's a fact. Okay. Let me clear my vocal cords.
Getting creepier.
Me.
I'm in. Okay.
All right. I think I'm ready. Ready? Okay.
All right, man.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear John. Happy birthday to you.
Wow, Andy V coming through, helping us to lose all of our Australian listeners one person at a time.
All right, cool. Now let me get back to my secret message over here in the beautiful Midwest. And love you guys. Have a good
BBC
show tonight. Huh?
That was the acronym. Was it DBW?
Mm-hmm. It was.
Oh, that's fine.
Oh, good Lord, God help us.
All right, you wonderful, wonderful gentlemen, my friends, my brothers, my lovers. Have yourself a wonderful evening, and I will talk to everyone next week. Have a good show, guys.
All right, bro, be safe. I'll talk to you next week, man.
Later, man.
That was the illustrious Andy V. Woo-hoo!
This is Emma Locke from the Human Centipede 2, and you're listening to Urban Jungle Radio.
Call 911 now!
Join Danny Mendez live every Friday night at 10 p.m. in his quest to bring you the very best in cold-blooded entertainment. From special guest appearances to deeper debate.
So, Gizzy, we haven't caught up with you in a while. What, pray tell, have you been experiencing in the past few months that you and Mother deem fit to share with the Urban Jungles Radio Jungle Junkies across the globe?
Well, Daniel, I've been up to all sorts of things. Mostly work, but I do get out into the wildlands of the Midwest and get to herp around a bit. And unintentionally, I've accidentally experienced double D's in the past three restaurants I've been to. It's been quite refreshing, but also chill.
Well, that is wonderful, my friend. Goals, goals, keep them going. You know, I didn't get a chance to really tell you this. Of course, we spoke to you briefly during my foray down under in Australia. We surprised you with a call because you have so many fans down under, Gacy. I don't think you understand the magnitude of this. Everybody down there was asking for you. Steve Castell from Scales and Tails Australia is a huge, huge fan of yours and asked me to personally say hi to you for him. I mean, how does it feel to be so loved down under in such a huge way since the likes of young Einstein I've not seen as kind of a fervor?
Well, it is quite the intense and immense feeling, I must say. I would say that it's making me blush up top and also down under.
Oh, Lordy. Would you be interested in hopping on one of those big fancy aeroplanes and heading on down to the other side of the planet to meet some of these people that find you so fascinating?
Oh, I most certainly would.
Do you think
they
you can...
the greatest wildlife ever.
That's true, that's true. Do you think you can do the reverse Crocodile Dundee, where you are taken from the wilderness of Wisconsin and put into a new environment, forced to adapt? Do you think you would be able to make it?
I would certainly do my best. I won't have any great lines like, "That's not a noise. This is a noise." I'd have to say something like, "Now here's a Broadway, don't you know?"
I think you should totally use that against like some kind of thugs. It would work out very well. We'll have to check that out. Man, I would. Oh, you know what I had? I had an idea for you, Casey. I wanted to tell you. I guess we can talk about it now, real quick. I want you to come to New York, and I think you should consider going to like the Westminster Kennel Club show. And doing some UJR work down below and getting up close and personal with the pooches and their handlers. Is that something that you think you'd be interested in?
I love getting my hands on a nice pooch.
Would you be able to roll with the bitches?
Behind the scenes, I roll with lots of bitches, and you know.
Gacy, I find that simultaneously entertaining and disturbing, my friend, in the best way possible.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to get started. I am going to get with Mr. Joe Ball down in Australia. Now, I had the pleasure of visiting Joe earlier last month when I visited down for the Scales and Tails Australia Reptile Expo. And Joe was nice enough. He was one of those people nice enough, just like the Ipers who we mentioned earlier, to open up his personal collection and let me see some fantastic animals, including a pretty much once-in-a-lifetime moment, which was being able to handle a Lacy monitor. And Gacy, I wish you were there for that. You would have done splendidly getting to see those big, powerful lizards up close and being able to lay your hands on them in a glorious fashion.
I love being at the mercy of anything big and powerful.
You think you can hang?
I would certainly do my best. I can take quite a load, you know that.
Oh, God. All right, let me see. We're going to try to connect to Joe. Hang with me. Let's see if we can make this happen. And, yeah, let's see how it goes. Hold on.
This is a journey into sound. I'm Mark.
Casey, there?
I'm still here, Daniel.
All right, hold on 1 second. I'm having some trouble connecting to Joe. You didn't just hear me talking to him right now, did you?
I did not.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me see if I can figure this puppy out.
Do what he does, but out of all of them, no one is above. Hot snakes, rattle bones like earthquakes.
Alright, did I leave you alone for all that time, Casey?
What was that, Dan?
Did I leave you alone for all that time? Were you hanging on air by yourself, quietly?
Just waiting in anticipation.
Sorry, I don't know what happened. I was having some technical difficulties. I thought I'd be able to connect to Joe via video on Skype last minute, but it wasn't happening. So he's going to give us a call into the studio and make life a little bit easier for me because we are adjusting to the new studio here at Urban Jungles, of course. And you know, things can't go smoothly because it just wouldn't be the case, right?
Not at all.
Geek AC, are you, you're going to join us undoubtedly this fall for the Chicago NARBC show, are you?
Oh, certainly. I was hoping to be in good old Timothy.
Yeah, it was for sure a tough trip to make for the spring this time in Tinley, so unfortunately we couldn't make it either, but that just means that we have to come back so much harder when we show up in the fall. I have some spectacular events that are planned for the fall for Tinley, and I'm hoping that it all works out and we can deliver the excellence that I'm hoping to deliver. And Gacy, we will not disappoint. And I have some exciting new things for you too. So I think you should be doubly excited. I think you should start planning your outfit now, because I think that you are going to show and prove in a major way. And we want you looking good. So, you know, visit the thrift shop. Look crispy and clean.
Oh, I shall.
No doubt that you shall, so we shall see. Coming up in a few weeks, we are actually going to have Jackie Bibby from the, I guess you could say it's that, what was that TV show, what was it called, that Rattlesnake Republic TV show that was on, I think it was Animal Planet a couple of years back. Well, Jackie Bibby has been the poster child for Rattlesnake Roundups, not in a good way over the years. He's one of these guys that does a lot of stunts, and we've interviewed him in the past over at the Texas Rattlesnake Festival the first year. This was about 2 years ago, and I actually just got word before coming on air that Jackie wants to come back on and talk to us about some of the stuff that he's done this year. Apparently, he's made some major moves, and he wants to share them with us. So I know that you can be excited for that, Gacy. Gacy, you got to get you to the Texas Rattlesnake Festival. I think Texas is going to love you.
Oh, I sure hope to attend. It always looks like such a fun time.
It is. It always is. We tend to bring the fun everywhere we go, Gacy. That's just how we roll, baby.
Too true. Too true.
You missed, you know, when we catch up with Joe, I think we'll be able to talk about it. Hopefully, if he can get through to us. I don't know if he must be having a hard time. But if he gets on, we can talk a little bit about the good time we had in Australia, because we had some amazing folks out there that we got to hang out with and visit their personal collections. And then just, I mean, we had the best group of Americans that were there. I wish you could have came, Gacy. It was so freaking awesome. I was down there with Savannah Bowen and Patty, who are actually going to call. You know what? They're actually, they are here. Are they? Yeah, you know what? They're here now. Let's take a call. Savannah and Patty, they wanted to say hi to Joe because they visited his place along with me. And they had a few things to say. So let me take their call in the meantime while we're waiting for Joe and see what comes up. Hold on. Everyone bear with me. It's the new studio, and Gacy's not here to hold my hand through this, so it's a little rough. All right, let's take this call real quick, and then we'll try to get back with Joe Ball. Hold on 1 second.
This is Dominic Monaghan, and you're listening to Urban Jungle Radio. Urban Jungle Radio. Urban Jungle Radio. Urban Jungle Radio.
This is
Dominic Monaghan, and you're listening to
Urban Jungle Radio.
Thanks for that, Dominic.
Hello. Hey.
Kenny, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, my little worldwide traveler?
Oh, we miss you so much. We wish you were here.
Oh, man, you guys must be having such a blast.
Oh, my gosh, so much fun. Like, I woke up this morning, and Tom was like, well, you woke up a little bit late, but we need to go milk the cobras. And I was like, yes, I love my life.
Look at you, man. You've had a hell of a week. Just even this week, I've been watching your stuff, and it's been pretty awesome watching you go everywhere.
Yeah, I've gotten to do some really, really cool things with the with the help of lots and lots of great friends, but I knew I wanted to end up here so I could rest.
I need a place to stay. Reptiles are a bonus, but yeah, like, seriously, man, you haven't stopped. What's your plan? Are you going to be – you're moving down to Florida, right?
I am moving to Florida. I'm not sure which part yet. I'm working on some different projects with some different people that will be really cool, like, once people know what they are. And I just cut a commercial today for a caiman adoption society. You could adopt a caiman that you could love and bring into your home, and you know, take baths with it, hang out with it.
Seriously, you should have been bottle feeding it and putting little like pink fluffy things on them and making them chase balls of string. Oh God! Was that Patty screaming in the background?
My brother used to do. To
yeah.
Me. Put
yeah,
it on a second. Let me talk to her.
Here you go. Hey, Chefy bitch.
Patty baby.
No, do it right, Patty baby.
Hey, Patty baby. How you doing, Patty baby?
Hey, Patty baby.
I just wanted to tell you, Tom, that I tried really, really hard in Australia when these women were all coming together to distribute pictures of you sleeping with, like, some makeup. I was like, ladies, please, common sense. Let's not do this. And they were like, and Patty was like, Danny, stop being such a little bitch. Shut up.
Stop
and
being
like,
a bitch, Danny.
Yeah, yeah. So I tried, Tom. I tried to stop them, but, you know, it got ahead.
Yeah, right. He was a big choreographer.
You are such a fucking liar. And this mittens is only like a partial payback, this thing.
Bitch Mittens is great. I loved it. I was cracking up. And I love the fact that people were like sharing that and saying that I was great.
Bitch Mittens.
We have laughed a lot today, I said, I have to admit.
That's good. That's what it's all about,
yeah.
Man.
Well, we do a lot of that every day, son.
That's great. That's what it's all about. You guys have the best time. You have the best people coming down and hanging out with you. I'm going to show you
my
bitch
Mittens. Yeah, that's all I'm about, just enjoying yourself and not hurting anybody else and trying to do the best you can for what's left of the planet, and that's all you can do.
Yeah, man. Amen. Amen. I'm going to come down there. I'm going to test out bitch mittens on all the animals.
They didn't get the deal. They put mittens on a deal with us, but we don't put mittens on the deal with them.
They're going to think it's food.
Amazon women and shit. So. They don't have pops, that sissy shit.
I want to go in your turtle tank. I want to go in your swimming in your turtle tank. I don't know why.
Yeah, put your Speedo on and get in the
tank. No worries.
Right, I'm going to do that.
Oh, no. Hold on. Tom wants to talk to you. Hold on.
All right, one funny animal story for the day that tops it all over, and the best thing is these people are not fucking from Florida, thank you. Yellowstone National Park last week, some people are driving along the road and see a herd of bison and a poor bison calf about 50 yards away from the herd by the road. They thought it was cold, so they picked it up and put it in their car and drove to the ranger station, the living bison calf with the mother chasing the car.
Is that
stupid beyond belief?
Yeah, I've never.
That's actually real, but it's real. I mean, you couldn't make it up. I mean,
I'm never surprised by the stupidity of humans, Tom.
But it's not even that small of a calf either. I mean, it probably weighed 150 pounds. It's like, how do you get that in your car?
That's like those people who bring home coyotes and bobcats thinking.
I know, bobcats and shit.
That's great. I can't tell you how many times that's happened here when people hit a bobcat and they think it's a fucking kitten and they take it home and then it comes back to life and it starts ripping their house apart and then they call everybody from the state.
I know. And you think all those people are stupid. And I took two stories from Belize involving Vanessa Crutchfield. Vanessa and her sisters were out road hunting one night on the old Northern Highway.
Yeah.
And they found a dead Mornet crocodile in the road about 7 feet long that had been run over by a car. So they picked the crocodile up and put it in the back seat because we were taking St. John's Vianney College the next day as a preserved specimen.
Right.
The crocodile looked perfect. Didn't have a mark on it. We get the crocodile to the house, And Vanessa brings you down just across her shoulder. It probably weighed 150 pounds, maybe. And when she laid it on the floor, its ear flaps are going.
Oh, yeah.
And then it came to life in the house. And went crazy and broke shit. And then I couldn't jump on it because it's on the couch. And I'm giving, give me a rope, give me a rope. And we finally, like, long story short, I finally caught it and took it to the college the next day and taped it up. But if that came to in the back seat, it would have hurt them really bad, that crocodile. That was a big crocodile to have in the car.
Good
Not
Lord.
Take that. the word is stupid. That's the point of the story, I guess.
Yeah, there we go.
Urban Jungle Radio. Urban Jungle Radio. Hi, this is Lucy Lawless. You're listening to Danny Mendez on Urban Jungle Radio.
No, it was a good time down at the Crutchfield Farm. Those guys are having a great time. So shouts to them, and thanks for taking the time out to call. And you got to head down there too, Gazy. Listen, I have good news. I believe we have Mr. Joe Ball on the line. Hold on one second. Joe, is that you?
Hello.
Hey. Thanks so much, Joe, for calling in. I'm so sorry. We were having some problems with our Skype line, and that's how I'd originally anticipated speaking to you.
No dramas.
Perfect. Good to hear. Well, thanks for coming on, man, and coming on the show. I'm really excited to finally get a chance to talk to you proper. I was entirely too frantic while visiting you at your home with all of your amazing animals, and your collection is just outstanding. I was so floored by your animals, and not only the kinds of animals that you had, but I really got a great vibe from you, especially in how passionate you are about keeping your stuff. And it was very visible in the animals and the enclosures and how excited you were about talking about them.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I'm standing here in the Queensland sunshine, which you were sharing with me only a few weeks ago, and there's a few monitors out basking. It's a shame that you can't visually see what's going on. I think you'd be a little bit jealous again.
Oh, lovely. It's like paradise. So you are obviously not originally from Australia. You moved there, I'm assuming, a while ago. Like, was that your intention? I mean, when you came to Australia, were you already a reptile guy, or is that something that happened?
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those kids that my parents used to find frogs and or anything slimy or what other people perceive to be slimy in little buckets of water under my bed or little jars or anything like that from the age of 4 or 5. So I suppose I have a predisposition to have the reptile screw-up gene. I can't get rid of it. I can only nurture it, and it's just out of control now. But moving to Australia enabled me to follow that to the nth, you know. So it was one of the major reasons I came down here, yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah, no kidding. And you did it, and you did it well. Outstanding animals, an outstanding collection, and it really is. I mean, it really is a paradise, your place, and seeing how well your animals are kept, it's very liberating for me to see a well-kept collection, you know, where the animals are not crammed into little tiny cages, and where they're given a lot of room and appreciated for what they are and what they can do and what they're supposed to be doing. You know, obviously having an important knowledge on their basic biology and recreating the proper habitat accordingly. And that was just all very visible in your organization and your design.
Yeah, thanks. It's just something for me that comes natural, you know. It's just studying and watching animals and empathizing with them. And you learn something from them, and more and more you view them, you know. And in the environment that we have down here in Australia, it's made a lot easier. I know particularly it's the monitors that you loved. And if you're a reptile enthusiast and you've got an acre of land in Australia, then, well, there's only one thing you're going to do with it.
Yeah, for sure. Great. Keep as many as you can. And your skinks, you know, it's crazy because the blue tongue skinks. I mean, maybe it's because I live here in the States and haven't appreciated them because we don't have anywhere near the diversity that you have as far as, you know, the different morphs and the colorations of the skinks. I mean, were they something that you were always drawn to, or because I know nothing. I was just going to say, I know, like, absolutely nothing about the history of the morphs of blue tongues in Australia, which I know you're, like, the master of.
Well, I think when you look at all of us reptile keepers, we sort of, if you cut us, we either bleed snakes or we bleed lizards, and I was always lizards from the outset. And when I got back into keeping reptiles in Australia, it was in the middle of the buzz when the albino carpet python was being released and everybody was chasing that. And I think what everybody seemed to overlook was that there were these amazing hypermelanistic blue tongues and albino blue tongues that had been discovered and made available via Snake Ranch. And not really many people took them up. You know, everybody was that keen on the carpet python boom, and I just didn't find that as interesting, and I just got into those and set about on a collecting mission of every single locality animal I could find and every different mutation, whether it be proven or not. And it seemed to gather momentum, and then suddenly this thing has sort of gotten a bit out of control over the last few years with other people gaining interest, and I suddenly have come out, if you like, ahead of the game with all these projects, and it sort of highlighted to everybody the potential genetically of this genus of animals, you know?
Yeah. How long of a journey was that with the blue-tongued skinks?
It's about an eight-year journey now. Yes. And it simply was that. There was those two mutations available, which in reality are the two best you can possibly get when you think of albinism, which takes out all the black, and then hypermelanism, which goes and throws it all back in again. So you've got two ends of the spectrum, and anything else that you can gather along the way to manipulate colours within, you're going to be able to create pretty much any different colour that you like over a given period of time, and that's basically what my sort of mindset was, or my mission statement, so to speak. And as you've seen, that's come into fruition over the last couple of years.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, the variation is just mind-blowing. I could never, ever have even begun to fathom, you know, some of the color combinations that you've created. And also just, it's also mind-blowing how much variety there is even within, you know, the same technical mutations just because of the individual.
Yeah, the polygenic variants across them. And I think that's best illustrated by how much of a head turn it's grabbed out of you guys in the US, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got all those amazing mutations that you've made with the ball pythons, and there is a precedent with the leopard geckos.
Right.
So, you know, all these mutations have been done with both the non-leg and the four-legged variety. So for another species to jump out and grab everybody's attention, it really had to go some to do that.
Right.
And the blue tongues, I think, have done that. And I think that they can in some ways add their own edge to give them an edge on some of those other species. And that's what will happen over the next few years.
Yeah, I think it's pretty spectacular, too, that just the blue tongues themselves are so well suited to being pets, and you know, they're conducive to being really cool pets for the most part. So just being able to produce them, you know, in every different color is such an advantage.
Yeah, definitely a prerequisite. It needs to be universally suitable for all, and that's when you look at the other species that this kind of stuff has been achieved in, they're all animals that fit that sort of size profile, ease of keeping, all those things that you just covered.
Sure, absolutely. And as far as the monitor collection that you have, were you always I know you said you were a lizard fan, but were monitors always high on your list?
I had iguanas when I lived in the UK, so for me, any lizard really, I don't mind whether it's a tiny skink that runs on all around the walls of my house here, or whether it's a big monitor that's capable of running off with your domestic dog or cat, you know.
Right.
So whatever the size, I'm interested if it's a lizard.
Nice. Is there anything, you know, let's say that you had carte blanche, you were able to keep anything in the world. Is there anything specifically that you wish you could work with that you haven't yet?
I think there's quite a few of us Australians that would like to keep a lot of the species that are held overseas. And I'm fortunate in so much as I had a little period of time where I could have anything that I wanted when I lived in the UK. And now I live down here. I don't really see it like that. I think that Australia is blessed with such perfect fauna that I don't really have a desire to keep anything from any other country. That's not to say that it's not equally as beautiful, but I just think that the variety that we have down here is literally second to none, to be honest.
Oh, I don't disagree with you in the slightest, and I just love the fact that you have that outlook on the animals that you're keeping, is the fact that you recognize that, I mean, they're so beautiful, and the variety of the animals, even just amongst the varanids themselves, you have such beautiful contrast from the tiny, you know, dwarf monitors all the way up to the big parentes and the lacies that you keep. It's so nice that you have that variety, and it's excellent that you can appreciate that, Joe. That's really why I loved seeing your collection and hanging out with you. That shines through for sure.
Yeah, those big monitors for me, I mean, you've got the skinks where I've got sort of a mission statement and a design on what I'm trying to achieve, but the monitors for me is something that I say to other people. Some people have a Harley Davidson set in their driveway. Well, I keep parentes in my backyard, you know, and that I don't have any commercial ideas with them or have any, you know, sort of goals. I just wanted to keep those big monitors and just be able to say I own them. And for me, it was the big four monitors that there are in Australia, which is the Parenti, the Lace Monitor, the Panoptes, and the Spencers. And I wanted to own a group of all those to cover some of the variation within and just be able to enjoy them. And that's what I did.
And it's spectacular. And I love the fact that you're not just solely driven by the motivation of, you know, the financial motivation of it all. That's so nice to see somebody who's just really passionate about it and enjoys, you know, the moments that they get to spend with these animals and appreciates them.
For sure. And as I said before, the environment here enables you to do that. I was just speaking to someone earlier about keeping monitors indoors or outdoors. And for me, they've got to be outdoors. Those things, they just don't get to appreciate them unless you can achieve that.
For sure, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. They seeing them the way that you kept them is just so nice. As a zookeeper, I didn't have experience at all with the majority of the monitors that you keep for obvious reasons here in the States, but as a keeper here in a temperate part in the Northeast, similar to what you, I'm sure, experienced in the UK, you can't always keep the animals outside. So it's always been my experience to keep them indoors, and to see the opposite, to see at your place and to see them out in the natural light, you know, behaving the way they should. It was just so glorious. And to see the power and the build on those animals, I've never seen, you know, the physical build. I mean, those Panoptenes that you had, God, those things were built like, you know, brick houses, man. And I've never seen them with that kind of fitness. And I think that's a testament to how it is that you were keeping them, you know, outside.
Yeah, they're just basically wild. I don't handle them as you saw. I haven't handled them since you were here. The only time they're ever handled is if somebody has a distinct desire to be shown them, and you try and catch those things, and they certainly give you the runaround. I think you captured that great on that little video that you did.
Yeah, for sure. I would not do it unless I had to, and I thank you for that moment, because I sure as hell would not do it for somebody else, let me tell you.
That
great
thing nearly did escape, by the way, when I just got hold of its tail. I may have looked casual in holding it, but I nearly lost and
well played, never recorded again. No one had any clue it was well played, and I don't think anybody noticed. Man, that's pretty slick, and that was amazing. I mean, once again, just to see those animals and to see the explosive power, you know, behind them, it's such a difference than, you know, the animal that's living under fluorescent and, you know, incandescent lighting with basking spots or whatever. It's just such a different animal, and it was so nice to see that. Thanks to you, man. I'm so appreciative of that.
Yeah, they hit a new energy level when they get the ability to bask all day in the sun. And people don't realize just how explosive and how uncontrollable they can be when exposed to that.
Yeah, it's totally different. And see, that's something that bothers me, I think, about what my experience is with people who keep monitors, is that most people don't keep them adequately as far as space or things like thermal gradients. Or even, you know, optimal temperatures for the most part. So you've got these animals that are pretty lethargic and lay around, and it gets mistaken for them being tame or, you know, accustomed to captivity, where, you know, it's like when I see animals kept the way that you kept them, which is what they should be in their natural environment, and they're exposed to the optimal temperatures, and they're walking, you know, and they're digging, and they're foraging, and you just see that. You see that in the limbs.
Yeah, for sure. Whenever I want to do a photo shoot with any of those monitors, I wait for the winter and do it at a time when they basically don't move around and they're pretty pliable. And I think that's a mirror of how some people keep them all year round, you know, not quite getting up to those optimum temperatures. And, yeah. Another thing which was, I've seen commented on, a photo of yourself holding gloves. And that always frustrates me, holding them with gloves. And it always frustrates me on the internet when I like to see people holding monitors with gloves on, and everybody always seems to have a go if you've got gloves on, calling you some kind of
bitch,
you know,
mitten.
For want of a better word, pussy or something like that, you know. When you actually grab them out of their natural environment, you realize that you need more than just gloves if you're going to be 100% safe.
Yeah, absolutely. The gloves, I mean, the gloves are a given. Those animals, like I said, I don't think most people know the power behind those animals, and there's no reason not to protect yourself. It's silly not to. So that was fine. That everybody takes their jabs. It's all good. It doesn't matter because that guy will hold your lacy. So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Screw you all. It doesn't matter. Awesome. So, man, thank you so much for calling in. I know it was definitely a bit of a struggle for you to get to us, and I really, really appreciate you taking the time to get on to us, because I wanted to talk to you, and I wanted to tell you once again how much I appreciated seeing your animals and how beautifully they were kept, you know, the wonderful condition that they were in, and what you've achieved so far with your passion and your focus on these animals is nothing short of spectacular. And it was so inspirational at a time that I've reached in my life when, you know, I'm kind of jaded by a lot of the stuff that goes on in the animal world. Seeing you and the fire that you had when you're talking about your animals was just really amazing, and I'm thankful for that. So thank you once again for that and for coming on the show tonight, man.
Awesome. Thank you. I've loved it.
Good. Well, make sure you guys, where can we check out more about the stuff that you're working with, Joe?
Well, I've got my Facebook page, which is bluetonguelizard.com.au. I'm also on Instagram, which is of the same name. But I might get you to maybe share something, one of those links to your page on Facebook, so that others can follow that, and maybe flick you a couple of the best monitor pictures as well, so that you can maybe just put pictures to a couple of things that we just spoke about.
For sure. On our page this evening, I will set up some pictures from the visit to your place and let everybody know, and we'll also set up links so they can check out your groups. If you're a blue tongue fanatic, you need to get onto Joe's pages. He's got some great discussion groups, and you'll see all the activity going on between the keepers, which is really nice to get all that information out. So we will definitely put up links for everything and get the word out there. And thanks again, brother. I really appreciate you coming on, man.
Not a problem. Anytime.
All right. Have a great one. Take care.
Yeah. Thanks, Danny. Bye.
Take care, Joe. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Let me kick it. It's that online radio and video show that covers the animal show. Urban Jungle Radio.
Ah, there we go. The man himself, Joe Ball, caught up with us. Despite the man trying to keep us down with technical difficulties, he came through from Oz. What do you think, Gacy?
Well, that sounds like quite the collection.
Yeah, he did. He had a really spectacular collection of, like you said, some of the really large Australian monitors, and he had just blue tongue skinks of every color, from like purple, greenish, to just paper white, jet black. Really, really nice stuff. He also had a lot of things we didn't even talk about, but he's got, you know, things like cool carpet pythons and like children python stuff. And it's cool. One of the things that I noticed about Joe, which is what drove me to ask him to come on the show, was one of the examples that he was talking about in his collection was at one point he had, you know, these two snakes that he raised up, and they were het for something or other, and he planned on breeding them together, and he bred them together, and they produced some kind of like new cool morph of I believe it was like a I want to say a children's python. He just like up and sold the parents that produced it, and then just kept a couple of the babies and raised them up and then bred them back. So for him, it was like a thing, like he didn't even care. You know, most people would have kept back the parents and continued to breed them year after year and making a profit. And he just sold everything and just like held back two babies and raised them up. And it was a clear indication to me that he just genuinely enjoys working with the animals. And that was really refreshing to see in somebody that's not purely motivated by profit.
I was reading that he kept land moments. I was quite curious. Is it just a bunch of little Joe Dirts running around?
We should have asked. Oh, Gacy, I can't wait to bring you to the hood, and you can come hang out with us in studio in the new dungeon. It's pretty badass.
I know my way around dungeons, that's for sure.
I know you do, you freak. All right, brother, we're going to wind down this episode of Urban Jungles Radio. I'd like to thank Savannah Bone for calling in, along with Tom Crutchfield and Patty Allington, and I think Stacey Maltz was in the background. Thank that whole crew for hanging out. Of course, I'd like to thank Mr. Joe Ball for calling in and chatting with us about all the stuff that he loves and all the cool stuff that he's working with. So shout out to Joe, and special thanks to you, good sir, Mr. Gay Seamander. Thank you for hanging with me this evening in the absence of the wingman and having you chill. I think if I could get my shit together and get everything working, I think you should hang out with us on the cam and be visible in the studio with us at some point, maybe next week, so that Andy and I can gaze upon your deep blue pearls of wisdom as you impart it throughout the show.
Oh, I'm being more than happy to.
I'm so poetic, sometimes it's scary. All right, Gacy, say goodnight to everybody.
Good night, everybody. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, our Jungle Junkies. We love you guys, and you rock. And we will catch you next week with all the good stuff. So be good. Be good, everybody. Stay out of trouble, gay. See?
The Beastmaster has spoken! We've got your mental dress, we've got your blood.
Urban Jungles, Friday night.